second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 22 to 30, and I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he spent some time there with them and baptized. John also was baptizing at Anon near Salim, because water was abundant there, and people kept coming and were being baptized. John, of course, had not yet been thrown into prison. Now a discussion about purification arose between John's disciples and a Jew. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So last week, we began a sermon series that will lead us through the season of Lent, focusing on the seven deadly sins and the seven heavenly virtues. These are ideas that have been a part of the Christian tradition for over 1,500 years, this list of conditions or sins that can draw us away from loving God and loving each other, and accompanying list of virtues that can draw us into a deeper relationship with God and with each other. As we talked about last week, Lent is not just a time in which we give up chocolate or social media for 40 days, because social media and eating chocolate are not in and of themselves sins. But they can point to the symptoms of sins, point to deeper issues within us that are in need of healing. So as we make our way through this season of Lent and seek to be intentional about cleansing our lives of sin so that we might find new life in Christ, the sermons each week are going to focus on one of these seven sins and one of its accompanying virtues. And the hope is that this can help us identify those deeper issues in our lives that we need to turn away from and give us a virtue, something to turn to. We started last week by looking at pride and humility. And pride, as we said, is putting the self at the center. It is thinking, acting, believing, living as if we do not need God. It's saying, all that I have, all that I am, is by my own power and ability. I have made all of this possible. Humility is recognizing our dependence on God. That all that we have, all that we are, is a gift, the grace of God in our lives. And so today we are going to be looking at the sin of envy and the virtue of kindness. Now I remember about 15 years ago, I was working with a church out in Limerick, and it was a brand new church plant in a booming suburban area. They had just built a building and moved in after worshiping for the first few years in an elementary school gymnasium. And this church had grown from literally nothing to around 120 people worshiping and practicing their faith together in just a few years. It was a growing, thriving church. But at the same time, right around the corner from the church we had built, there was another church worshiping in a different elementary school gym. This was a non-denominational evangelical church that had started right around the same time as us. For a while, we had shared rented office space together before we had a building. So it was only natural that we kind of compared ourselves to each other. Like, how many people do they have in worship right now? How's their youth group doing? We're kind of at the same point. So where are they compared to where we are? Things like that. The thing was, that church was growing a lot faster than our church. And that was fine. You know, they were reaching people that we weren't reaching with an understanding of faith that we weren't providing, but we were reaching people that they weren't reaching with an understanding of faith that they weren't providing. We were each doing our own thing the way that we were called to do it, and we were both thriving. They just had more people than we did. The problem was, The pastor of our church just couldn't get over the fact that they were growing faster. Every Sunday morning, he would have to drive by their church on the way to our church, and he would see their parking lot overflowing with cars, a problem that we did not have. And he took that as a personal reflection on him. What are we doing wrong? What am I doing wrong that we aren't growing like that? And he started to resent that other church. Oh, they're just presenting this simplistic, surface understanding of faith that's easy for people to accept, and that's why everybody wants to go there. But we're taking people deeper, and it's harder, so we're doing it the right way. He said that to me once. He couldn't get over it. He was constantly comparing his church to that one. And after a while, he not only resented their church, he started to resent his own. Why aren't we growing like that? What's wrong with us? If only people would do more or give more. And it wasn't much longer before he left. Envy can be defined very simply as wanting what someone else has, whether it is a possession or a level of success that they have achieved. It is seeing someone else do well, and instead of being happy for them, we are upset because I want that. I should have that. It's being unhappy over the good fortune of someone else because you want that same good fortune. One author writes that envy is consumed with the idea that everyone and everything outside the self threatens to diminish the self. The proud man wants to usurp the Lord's rightful power, while the envious man wants there to be no Lord at all. Now, we might think, if I just want what someone else has, like if I look over there and see that thing, man, I really want that, what's the harm in that? But the problem with envy is what it can cause us to do. If you want something badly enough, it can cause you to steal to get it, to lie to get it, to cheat to get it. It can lead you to resent or even hate other people. I mean, look at the pastor that I was just talking about. First, he resented the other church for their success. Then he came to resent his own church for not achieving that same success. Theologian Thomas Aquinas talks about this and says that the struggle aroused by envy has three stages. First, the envious person attempts to lower another person's reputation. Oh, they're just presenting the simplistic understanding of faith. It's really easy for people. You try to break that other person or group down. Second, the envious person, if they succeed in defaming that other person and breaking them down, they receive joy at the other's misfortune. Or if they fail in doing that, they experience grief at this other person's prosperity. And the third stage is hatred. Because Aquinas says, sorrow causes hatred. If your success has made me feel bad about myself, then I will hate you for that. And in the worst cases, envy can cause us to hurt others or even kill them. Cain and Abel were brothers. Cain was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. They both brought offerings to the Lord. Cain an offering of fruit of the ground, and Abel an offering of sheep. For some reason, it doesn't say why, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but not for Cain and his. Abel received the blessing of the Lord, and Cain did not. Cain becomes angry, takes his brother out into the field, and kills him. He was so envious of the success of his brother and the blessing that he had received that he viewed his brother as a threat to his own well-being and sense of self, a threat that needed to be eliminated. It's like Yoda says in Star Wars. He says, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And it is precisely that fear, fear that I am not good enough or will not have enough. It's that fear that leads to envy. Envy leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. And hate leads to suffering. Look what God says to Cain right before he kills his brother. God sees that Cain is angry. And he says to him, "Why are you angry? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you don't do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." Envy is like a door that if we open it up, all kinds of other problems will come in. But we must master it. How do we do that? John the Baptist had been baptizing people in the Jordan River. He even baptized Jesus, but now John's disciples say, Jesus is over there on the other side of the river, and he's baptizing people, and everyone is going to him. They are envious of the success that Jesus is achieving. They think all those people, they should be coming to John and to them, and so Jesus is seen as a threat to their ministry. It's like that other church across the river is growing faster than us. John says to them, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven." Then he starts talking about brides and grooms and weddings. And what he says is essentially this. The best man at a wedding doesn't get upset because his friend is getting married. He rejoices for his friend. John is saying, Jesus is the groom. I am just the best man. This is his party, and I am rejoicing for him. If envy is wanting what someone else has, kindness is wanting someone else to have. If envy is being upset over what this other person has achieved, kindness is rejoicing over what this other person has achieved. If envy is wanting good for yourself, kindness is wanting good for this other person. And kindness is not just being nice to someone. Aristotle describes kindness as helpfulness towards someone in need, not in return for anything, not for the advantage of the helper, but for that of the person being helped. Kindness does not view the success or blessing of others as a threat. It views it as a cause for celebration because we are all in this together and there is enough blessing to go around. Envy says, "I want what you have for myself." But John says here, no one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. It is all a gift by the goodness and the grace of God. And the faithful response to the goodness and grace of God, no matter who receives it, the faithful response is celebration. You might want this thing that you see someone else has, but no one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. So maybe God knows that you don't need this thing right now, that it wouldn't be good for you right now. Maybe God has something else for you that you can't see yet. It's like John is saying to his disciples, focus on what you are called to do, and God will give you everything you need for that. Like God says to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? We resist envy by practicing kindness. And we practice kindness towards others when we actively work for their blessing and well-being, simply for the sake of their blessing and well-being, not because of what's in it for us, how it makes us feel. We practice kindness when we recognize that we are all in this together and that there is enough goodness and blessing in the world for all of us. There is a good kind of envy, though. Author Barbara Brown Taylor has a new book coming out called Holy Envy. And in it, she writes about the time when she taught a college class on world religions. And as a part of that class, she would take students on trips to mosques and synagogues and Buddhist and Hindu temples and all kinds of other places in an effort to help them better understand how other religions worship. And she writes this. She says, I would walk into these different places and immediately find something to fall in love with. The beauty of the space, the tenor of the discourse, the teacher for the evening, the hospitality we were offered. I ended up being just bowled over by the beauty and kindness that I encountered every place I went. That is not saying, I want what you have from a place of negative envy. It is saying, I want what you have from a recognition and celebration of the goodness that God has given. A recognition that what is given is from heaven. No matter who it is given to, it is beautiful and wonderful and worth celebrating. That is holy envy. What you have is so good and beautiful and wonderful and such a gift from God that I cannot help but want that same goodness and beauty in my own life. It is easy to look at other people and other churches and other religions and see them as a threat to our well-being simply because they are different. We saw that acted upon just the other day in New Zealand. But kindness doesn't view anyone else's blessing or success or existence as a threat. It recognizes that every good gift comes from God. And in God, there is enough blessing for all of us. And that is worth saying.